Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. You hear what I say? And all you could be in Christ Jesus, not in your own power, your own might, but in Christ Jesus. Each week you log on to this program, you hear our little inspirational message there, that music there. We pray that fires you up. It said, do not grow weary in well-doing. You know, because ministry is taxing, ministry is stressful. But ministry is what we're all about, and we thank God for this opportunity to share a ministry, ministries and ministries here in Dallas, Texas, but not only in Dallas, Texas, but this internet program goes coast to coast and throughout the world. We done talked to people from the Philippines, people from Kenya, Africa, and we done talked to local ministries and head of ministries right here in Dallas, Texas. We would like to encourage you to keep listening to this show. Tell someone about us. The call-in number to this program is 310-982-4126. You too can call in and join in the conversation. Just encourage our guests to keep doing what they're doing. And our guest is on the line right now. I am very happy to have this young man to be a part of our internet family, because I figure anyone that comes on here more than one time, they're part of the family now. So I like to just say thank him for continually to make himself available to be for the sharing of the gospel. But we have Michael Flemings on the line here. He's going to come on in a few minutes. He's from Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church. They're located in the Lancaster area. That's a suburb outside of Dallas, Texas. But we know that the ministry go further than just Lancaster or Dallas, Texas. It's worldwide. But he's going to come on. He's going to share some things with us that God has laid on his heart and give us an update on some information that he was able to share with us last time he was here regarding his citywide ministry. And we're going to follow up on that. And plus, we're going to share some new things with you. So just sit back and relax and listen to the program. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to just introduce you to Brother Michael. He's coming on live right now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Joel. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
God bless you. Welcome aboard here, brother. Just kick back and relax. Grab your cup of coffee. Welcome to our studio. Make yourself right
thank
at home.
You, thank you. Yeah, what a wonderful way to begin your day, sharing with the community the things that the Lord is doing for his people. Yes.
And that is so true. That is so true. We gave out the call-in number for people to call in if they have any thoughts or comments. But before we open up the phone line, we just want you to share with us what's going on in the ministry and to encourage us to keep doing what we're doing for Christ Jesus.
Okay. Well, thank you. I would be more than happy to do so. You know, I have been spending a lot of time traveling and moving around through the greater Dallas metropolitan area, specifically to touch base with other pastors and members of various churches in order to get a feel and to see if we can't come up with a consensus on what are the needs of the church, especially as it relates to meeting the needs of the people in the geographical area in which the churches are located. And we've identified some things, I think, that are critical that I want to share this morning with the community. You know, the church has undergone some major transitional changes and had to address some issues over the last 30 or 40 years. And the challenges are great. You know, we're living in a day and age when we have so many technological advances and so many things that are bombarding our minds and et cetera. And so it's difficult sometimes for us to avoid getting caught up in the hustle and bustle and the marketing and the advertising to to buy and define ourselves through material possessions and things made by the hands of men. And so more so than any other time in the history of the church, we're faced with obstacles that require extraordinary commitment and adherence and obedience to the Word of God. But here's something that I've been seeing and I'm hearing from not just church members, but especially from individuals in the community who are lonely, who are hurting, who are without hope, and in need of not only a viable option on how to deal with the challenges of the day, but to have some purpose and direction in life. And they're looking to the church, and many feel that the church is not relevant today. And that deeply concerns me. Now, we're doing a real good job when it comes to preaching to the saved and talking about the need for Jesus to the unsaved and about heaven, living with Christ after this life. But somewhere along the way, there are some churches and some communities who have not, either through the lack of resources or understanding, been able to provide the necessary services that make the church relevant in these days and times. And I'm talking about the role that Christian churches, that we as believers, have for making a difference in the world. We are said to be a city on a hill, a light in a dark world, a salt that preserves things as God so intended. But how do you do that? How do you address the concerns when the people are hungry and when the people are without justice and being disenfranchised? Well, as I said before, God has called Christians to be defenders of the poor, defenders of the hungry and for those in need, and that we are to address the social injustice for those who can't stand up and fight for themselves. And so I want to start with a couple of scriptures that I think are important. In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, God speaks through James when he talks about true religion. When he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Then our Lord and Savior himself in Matthew 14, 15 to 21 says, 'Now when it was evening, the disciples came and said to him, This is a desolate place, Lord, and the day is now over. Send the crowd away to go into the village and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish.' And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up into heaven and said, Lord, bless these meals.'" Now, here's the interesting thing about these scriptures, especially about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples, those 12 that were closest to Jesus, were the church leaders of their days. And the people had been listening to sermon and been in church all day. And so the disciples knew that the people were hungry, and they said, "Lord, we need to send them home so they can get something to eat." But Jesus told them, "No, you feed them." And the disciples said, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes." That's not true. The little boy only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples didn't want to give up their lunch, their meals. And you know, sometimes that's how it is with us. You know, we're so caught up and concerned about what we have. And we are so reluctant to share it and give it up because we feel like we won't have anything. But see, God is teaching us that in order to receive, we have to give. The church's role is to meet the needs of the people. And, you know, and God is doing that. Now, I'm not saying this to say that churches don't provide and seek to meet the needs of the people. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of people out there who are not being served, and we as a church must enlarge our territories and come up with better ways of being able to provide for the physical needs of the people. Jesus says that when we give, when we sow on good ground, then we produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now in this life and the life to come, which means that for some people, for us to get them into the life to come, we need to do a better job of meeting those needs now and empowering people so that the kingdom of God can be experienced right here in this life. So here are some programs and some organizations that I think we need to know more about, because they are there for us, the church, the congregations, to tap into in order to better meet the needs of our constituents and the people who reside in the areas in which we're positioned and located. One is the Dallas Coalition for Hunger Solutions for Faith Communities. These are programs and services that are specifically made available for congregations in order to meet the needs of the people in our community. Now, I don't know if we're aware that there are more than 1 in 5 adults and 1 out of 4 children in Dallas County who are at risk of hunger, who go to bed at night without having had a meal. And these statistics represent hundreds of thousands of individuals who struggle every day just to obtain food to get by. And we, the faith community, can play a major role in finally putting an end to this food insecurity and excessive hunger. Okay? What we need is for every congregation to take action, action necessary to ensure that our children, our families, and our seniors have the necessary food and the nourishment they need to flourish. One of those programs is the summer feed program, because we're approaching the spring and summer. Many churches right now are involved in providing the summer meal program. And these programs and services are for low to moderate income families who participate in the feed program, meal program, during the school year, but lack access to those dietary and nutritious meals when schools are out in the summer. So now we can partner with the Texas Agriculture Department, where we can be designated and compensated for providing those meals, 1 to 2 meals a day for individuals, children, and families in low-income areas. And that's a very important program, because it not only provides for the physical need in terms of meals, but it also enables us to have opportunities to interact with these individuals and families and to discover what other needs that they may have, and enables us to provide educational services, advocacy, intervention, and so forth. And so I'm going to be sharing later on some ways that you can contact and get involved with the summer meal programs. One of the things that our churches, and we're encouraging the churches in our district, the Sinai district, is the community partnership program. And that program is with the Texas Health and Human Services Commission. And it's a way for churches and congregations to assist low-income community members in applying for and managing their public benefits, benefits such as SNAP, which is the food stamp program, TANF, which is financial and cash aid for families with dependent children, Medicaid for our seniors, and CHIP, which is the Comprehensive Insurance Program. That is insurance for family members who are just above the poverty level, yet their income is not sufficient enough for them to provide the kinds of health care services they needed for their children. So the Community Partner Program is an initiative with the Health and Human Services that allows churches and other community-based organizations to become a site where we can provide online assistance to help people apply or reapply for the benefits. So they don't have to go into a county or a state agency. They can have those services readily available within walking distance to their homes, which will increase the number of people who are using those services. Now, unfortunately, what happened to us here in Texas, for instance, like in 2011, there were 223,000 people that were eligible for SNAP, food stamps, but were not receiving the benefits. And of this total, it's estimated that at least 20,000 were over 65 years of age. And together, nearly $355 million of unused benefits was returned back to the state from Dallas County alone. So it's important that we understand that the two primary reasons for these benefits and the reason why they're not being accessed is that many low-income families and seniors are not aware that they're eligible for the benefits. And then, additionally, applying for the benefits can be difficult and challenging because of transportation, the problems filling out the complex applications, and so forth. So we, the church, now can make ourselves relevant to the community, and especially for smaller congregations who are looking at ways to grow their membership. Programs like this gives people in the community a reason to come to your church. And when people come to your church and can get real physical needs met, like in the days of Jesus, they'll want to continue to come to your church. They'll want to attach themselves and to affiliate with you in ways that normally we can't contact or access people. So those two programs are really, really important. Now, there's a program called the Community Distribution Partnership Program. And it's similar to the North Texas Food Bank because the Community Distribution Partnership Program also works with the North Texas Food Bank. But what this program can do for you is provide you with bulk food to be distributed from your location, but you don't have to have all the administrative oversight of managing it, nor the physical space to store it. Arrangements can be made where you can provide both food and clothing to those who are in need without you having to do all of the administrative paperwork and so forth. You can have those resources available. You can have designated days. It can be one day, 2 days, or more per week in which you want to be able to distribute these kinds of resources and nutritious foods to needy families in your neighborhood. All you would need is to provide the food, okay, at least a minimum of once per month, okay, or often if you wish, and you would pre-register individuals to receive the food so we would know how much needs to be delivered or picked up, and then you could be a pantry without having to have the physical pantry to store the food and so forth. So that's three real critical programs, and I know we're going to need to take some time to break. And I'll talk about three other programs that I think are really critical and are ways for churches to not only meet the needs of the residents in their community, but also to increase the likelihood of growing your membership by providing necessary services. When people know that you care about them in this life and you're addressing their physical needs, then people are more willing to listen to you talk about something that they may not know, and that's Jesus Christ and life after death. Does that make sense to you, Joel?
That makes a lot of sense there, Michael. You really broke that down so simple that we all can understand it. We're going to go back over some of those things here in just a moment. But we do want to acknowledge our call-in number. That number is 310-982-4126. We have several callers on the line. We also have our co-hosts on the line. But we're going to bring in some callers here, and they're going to maybe just ask you a couple of questions regarding some things that we discussed, talked about the summer luncheon program. And I like that, man. I was a part of that right there. I was a beneficiary or something like that. Then when I got old enough, I worked in that type of program. So I know that they're worthwhile, man, and they're able to help out our young men and women and the family that they're struggling at this time. And who knows, maybe the next congressperson or the next doctor of science could be that participate in that summer lunch program. And so we encourage you we encourage our listening audience to take hold to what Michael is sharing and say, man, I would like to be a part of this. And he's going to give us some information on how to get things started. Also about the community partnership with the Human Health Services. And, you know, the Human Health Services is the one that delegates all our social things in Dallas County here, and they got a lot of programs embedded, but yet they're geared up for the community. I like to think of being user-friendly, you know, so Mike is going to share with us some things like that. And also about the low-income families and food and assistance. You know, we have food pantries and banks around Dallas, but what could you do to be a part of that? Maybe if you can't start one of your own local assembly, you can support someone else's local assembly, because this is God's business. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and open the line up. We got our co-host on the line here, and he's going to come on a minute. But first, we want to talk to a number at 6044. Good morning. You're on the net. Number 6044. Good morning. Okay, I assume that you just want to listen in. Please just continue to listen in. Anytime you want to say something, you have that option on your phone there to chime in and listen and make your comments. And we bring in Brother Daniels here. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
How you doing, Deacon Lewis?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for listening in. Brother, we have a great guest on the line here, and he's talking about some news we can use concerning our community, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, I like things like this, man, because I know the benefits of it, and I know that we have a desire being restored in the body of Christ, that we want to help someone, but we don't have to do this all alone, man. God have already put eight programs in play. We just have to know how to tap in on those things.
Amen. I want to ask you something else. You remember, like you were saying, you had a job in the summertime, man, you know. And I've been noticing lately, most of these kids nowadays, they don't hardly have anywhere to work in the summertime. Now, and most of the time, they're mostly idle, or they mostly, some of them really have to go back to summer school in order to try to get the credits and stuff together to graduate. So, are there any other summer programs for the kids to work in the summertime in order to, you know, help schooling and help them buy school supplies and clothes and stuff like that?
All right, then we're going to let our guest answer that for you. You just hold on there, brother, and he'll get back with you. Michael Fleming, did you hear that question that was presented?
Yes, yes, I heard that question, and it is a very, very good and appropriate question. You know, unfortunately, the resources available for our youth to get some employment and so forth are limited. You know, 30 years ago, you know, you had all kinds of summer job initiatives, and you had the JTPA, which was some federally funded programs that would provide tax breaks and incentives and would provide some financial assistance to businesses to hire students and youth during the summer. Now, those things have gone by the wayside because of the battles that we have in Congress around big government and the whole issue that those kinds of services and roles are best done and provided by local and private institutions and businesses, which in reality is true. But those businesses and private organizations that provide those services, for the most part, are north of I-30. So if you happen to live in Far North Dallas, Plano, Frisco, Grapevine, Rockwall, and areas such as those, then your children have a better chance of being able to find summer programs and summer job training programs than our children who live south of I-30. Because of the poor infrastructure, the lack of a diverse business community, and so forth, our children don't have as much access. And part of that speaks to the fact that we don't do a very good job of advocating for needs on behalf of our youth in this area, and we don't understand the importance of getting involved in the political process and being at the table when issues and financial kinds of things are being discussed. We tend to respond after the fact. So, you know, my brother here has raised a very important topic in that we need to begin to have dialogue on. How to best prepare? Because, you know, our young people can be one of two things. They're like arrows in a quiver. So at some point, we have to aim them high and pull back the bow, shoot, and release them. Where they land, they fly, and where they land, we know not. You know. But we know that what we have released is an instrument that can be used for mass construction or mass destruction. But it is our hand that molds and helps create the vision that gives them the hope and the belief that life is worth living and that there is a purpose, okay, for their lives. So
right.
I think that's something that we need to be addressing in the church.
Great. Now, Brother Daniel, was that able to cover your concern regarding that?
Well, you know, I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that mostly the North Dallas area is, you know, it's mostly you can say it's a politically Republican and upper class people of the city, that they are mostly, the money is trickling down to the upper class people instead of going to the lower class people. And you know, to me that seems like it's kind of biased, but if you look at it, you know, maybe so, that, like you say, we don't go to meetings, we don't go to Republican parties, we don't go to rallies and stuff in order to try to make this move in order to get this the support that our children really need. Because the way I look at it, you know, I see a lot of kids that, you know, most families hanging out on the street in the summertime. They got idle minds, they don't know what to do. And most of them, well, they see this way out is mostly, if I can't make money one way, I can make money another way. And
exactly.
If it's not sports, it's crime. Well, I'll just put it like that. That's where I seem like it's going on with our children.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Daniels,
We got another call on the line here. Brother Dan, yes, hold on here. We're gonna see about someone else coming in here and see what. Good morning, caller. You on the net? 8207. Good morning. You'd like to make a comment regarding what we're discussing with Mr. Michael. Good morning, caller. You on the net? All right, we'll just continue to listen in, and if you have a desire, you always could just let us know that you want Michael.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, then we're going to the phone line is filling up, brother. This is a hot topic. Everyone just want to listen in. Tell us, how can we get these things into motion? Give us a second half of this, and then toward the end of the program, we'll tell you how our listening audience can be engaged and plugged into these programs you're talking about.
Okay. Let me mention one thing that came up with some of the things that Brother Daniel was mentioning about how the lack of positive and productive activities and employment to engage our kids leads to the potential for increased recklessness and possible or potential violence. There is an organization that's here in the Dallas area. It's been around for about 20 years. It's called Mothers Against Teen Violence. For many years, they were primarily a service agency organization, providing counseling and education and so forth for families and individuals who may have experienced violence within their families, and to prevent families from having that. The director of that organization is an individual by the name of Joyce, and she had a son who was violently murdered, and that was the catalyst that moved her to begin to do something. Over the last few years, what she's done is that the agency has redefined itself to become a political advocacy organization to bring about statewide reforms in terms of drug policies and so forth, and to have some of the monies that are going into, you know, corrections and those kinds of institutions to be redirected into education prevention in the community and through job creation. And she has been fearless, and she has worked tirelessly to bring that end about. And so I think it's important that we understand that to address some of the concerns that Brother Daniel was talking about, we need to address those organizations who are trying to move in that direction and support them to bring about that political reform that will release funds that are being used to profit off of the pain, suffering, and failure of our children, and then to begin to educate them and to provide opportunities for them to be gainfully employed or to be engaged in things that will avert those kinds of atrocities. Okay? So now let me talk about three other programs that I think is important that we understand how they can be used by churches and other faith-based organizations to reach those who are in need. And one is a program called Cooking Matters. And Cooking Matters is a 6-week course that teaches individuals and families and our youth how to shop smarter, how to use nutrition information in order to make healthier choices and to cook delicious, affordable meals. It is a direct service program of the Dallas Coalition for Home and Solutions and through the Action Center and the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And it actually helps people who are on public assistance, such as the SNAP program, food program, to actually make better use of their resources. It's a fun and entertaining program that actually has hands-on applications, helping people to understand that cooking can be a family affair, that it can involve our teens and kids, discovering the fun and excitement in meal preparation. And, you know, sometimes these kinds of things can be income generation because, you know, we like to eat. And if we can provide healthy options at a reasonable cost, you know, you can create your little enterprise. But anyway, the courses are team taught by volunteer chefs, dietary people, nutrition educators, and so forth. And it covers meal preparation, grocery shopping. They actually go out with you and help you be able to shop better. There's emphasis on food budgeting and nutrition. And additional volunteers also serve as grocery shoppers for you and classroom managers. And so congregations can host these 6-week Cooking Matter courses. Now, 6 weeks seem too long. The program can be modified where you can do it in a day, or you can do it in smaller segments, like in 2-hour blocks and so forth. It can be modified to be distributed and administered in any way that you so require. Now, you don't need to have no major kitchen. The minimum requirements to hold these classes are trash cans, electrical outlets, some place where you can wash your hands with soap and towel, and a table, a towel, and chairs. That's basically all you need.
That is basic, bro.
Yes, sir. So there's no reason. You know, normally, when you have these kind of programs, they're designed where you got to have institutional kitchens with venting and all this major stuff, and the cost for doing those things are so prohibitive that many smaller churches and organizations can't do it. So, you know, when we come together in these coalitions, what we're trying to do is to identify what obstacles prevent the sustainability and the expansion of these programs. And usually it's cost and all of the resources necessary to start up a program. So when you can reduce the bar and make it simple and affordable, you can get more people involved. And so that's one of the things that we're doing through the coalition is try to make these programs and services accessible. So Cooking Matters is easy. We found that, again, it gives the churches a way to offer to the community. You know, these things can be publicized, and you can distribute flyers and do announcements through programs such as yours and let people know that, hey, we have these real services that we want to provide for you. And we also want feedback from you as to ways that we can improve accessibility and availability of these services to meet real everyday needs for people. Now, here's a program that I'm really excited about, and I really want to stress and encourage. And it's called the Family Garden Initiative. And I want to take time to give you a brief description of it. We call it the FGI program. Now, it's based out of Ohio. What does Ohio have to do with Texas? Well, it's the same thing that the radio program in Dallas, Texas, originating through Shady Grove Church. It's reaching out to people all across the country and the world. Is that God is not a localized God, that God is everywhere, and he's raising up a standard and an army. And when we can recognize that we're called, and one of the greatest prayers in the Bible is the prayer of Jabez, Lord, enlarge my territory. Well, you can enlarge your territory when you begin to partner with other organizations and begin to be concerned about the needs of the people outside of our congregation. So
that's
it's based
so true.
In Ohio.
That is so true.
Right. It's a Christian-based community outreach organization that provides fresh food to families in need through building gardens and providing garden education to local communities. Through the training and equipping of local congregations and social organizations and so forth, FGI and its partners empower children, adults, and families to improve their nutrition through gardening at their homes and apartments. Now, let me make this real quick and real easy. These people will build your garden for you, no matter how small or how large you want, at no cost to you and no work on your part to get it started. They'll bring in the necessary volunteers to build your garden in one day, be it a 4x4 square a foot area, or it'd be a 100 by 100. They'll do it for individuals, families, churches, and other community-based organizations. And why is that necessary? Because there's a need. Most low-income families live on tight budgets. And we know that south of I-30, we don't have any major fresh food markets and venues. All of those are north of I-30. So fresh produce is usually the first item cut from the shopping list, okay? Because it's expensive in the store. We have plenty of food pantries and food banks, but what they distribute are dry goods. So there are certain nutrients and things that are necessary for healthy living that are not attainable or affordable for many underserved and low-income areas. So they survive on less nutritious foods, okay? So this is a way to not only provide fresh fruits and vegetables, but man, it's also a natural way for our children and families to get healthy exercise outdoor in the sun, an activity that involves groups. Not only can families begin to work together to provide for their own needs, but you can come up with community gardens where more than one family or organization can come together and create a garden. Okay? It takes minimal space. You don't even need soil. They can do it on concrete. and if you have a lack of water, don't worry about it. They can take care of that too. It is a powerful program, man. And these people are doing this all across the country. And so they're here wanting to work through churches and other faith-based organizations in order to provides these community and neighborhood gardens and so forth. They'll provide everything that you need. You know, 16-feet square gardens, larger, over 20 kinds of vegetable plants, the watering cans and tools, the resource guides, the recipe books, and they'll install it anywhere. It's low year-round maintenance. It's 100% organic compost, no weeds, and they're sustaining for 2 years. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm thinking about Adam. When God created the world, then he took a place called Eden and created a garden and placed Adam in it and says, now cultivate and care for it. Adam had work, he had knowledge, and he produced things from his own hands. There is nothing like watching a child discover the joy and the beauty and the simplicity of working with your hands and seeing over time the fruits of your labor. If we want our children to understand just how powerful they are and how creative they can be, and that they're made in God's image and they can produce things just like God, start getting concerned and getting involved in family, neighborhood, and community gardens, and you'll see something really powerful and really dynamic. Okay? And then the last thing I want to talk about is an old, tried, and true program and service, the Visiting Nurses Association and the Meals on Wheels program. Any church, any organization can become involved with providing nutritiously fresh prepared hot meals to our residents in Dallas County who can't provide for themselves. They'll give you simple routes. A route can be two streets. It could be three blocks. But we can actually take volunteers. Everything is provided for you, and all you got to do is just drop off the meals. In the process, you can begin to have dialogue and interaction with people. Many of these seniors are lonely seniors, and the only contact they have is when that person comes to bring the meal. Think about the relationship building. Go ahead.
You know, Mike, I like to speak on that because I had an opportunity to do volunteer for the Meals on Wheels. I was between jobs. And let me tell you, that was very rewarding for me. And, you know, while I was between jobs, some counselor or somebody at a job placement agency said, why don't you volunteer, you know, to fill in the gap or fill in that void in your life? And you know what? That was the best information I had, was to volunteer. And as I started doing these things, God opened up doors for me, and he allowed me to make new contacts and learn some things. Because, see, our elderly men and women are very wise, and they're very knowledgeable. There's a lot of history involved in that. We don't have very much contact with them, but just the idea that the smile that they share with you after receiving a meal, or the hello that you get once you knock on the door and hand them the meal if you have an opportunity. And it's worthwhile, man. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is something that is needed, man. And all you do is contact. Give us some contact numbers, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make it simple and easy because I'm involved with the Anti-Poverty Coalition. I'm a member of the Dallas Coalition for Hunger Solutions. I'm a member of the Texas Hunger Initiative, Texas Impact. And so all you got to do is contact me, and I'm going to give you my number, which is 214-900-4179 or 972-218-9789. Again, that's 214-900-4179 or 972-218-9789, and I'll provide you with contact persons, numbers, printed information, because my whole thing is that we don't have to recreate the wheel. I'm trying to find ways that smaller congregations can provide needed services without having to incur all the costs and the administrative overhead that comes running programs. So there are programs and services out there. And through programs such as yours, Joe, we can let these churches know, especially our churches in the Sinai District, that we can be more than just preachers of the kingdom to come, that we can become a relevant church, a place to go to, that people can get real present daily needs met. And when you feed the hungry, they're more willing to attach themselves and to listen to you to take them somewhere that oftentimes they're not concerned with. When you're hungry, when you're cold, when you're lost and confused, sometimes you're not open to hear about Jesus. That's why Jesus came down and took it to the streets and went places where the religious people of his days didn't go. He went to the lost, the hungry. He fed people. He touched people. He reached out. And that's what we're called to do, is to go to those in need, to every high hill or green hill where people are scattered and lost without a shepherd. Then we're to go out and to seek and to find and to bind up and bring back. And the programs I'm talking about today are services and organizations out there who are in desperate need of churches and congregations to help them extend and reach people who are crying out for daily necessities. And we have the capacity to make a powerful, indelible impact mark on the lives of people that will draw them to us. People came to Jesus because he didn't just preach about the kingdom to come. He provided them what they needed that day, right then. And he serves as a model for us. So if you give me a call, I'll get you plugged in, and you decide as a congregation what you want to do, what level of involvement can be that can be administered by you, and then do. Just do.
And yeah, and you know, as you log on to this program each and every week and every opportunity we have, we say help change a life. And brother, I am so glad that you bring a ministry to the forefront that we too can be involved in to help change a life. You know, because we can't do anything apart from God. But if we get involved in God's business, man, you're like you shared with us about the fish and the loaves. You know, the kid had he had the food there, but he gave it over to God. He helped change the life, and that's what it's all about, brother. For one plants and one water, and God and only God give you the increase. Mike, I am so glad that you're on here, man. I'm so glad that God has blessed you with this information, make you available to be able to share this with us, man. And we pray that everyone is enjoying it, and they too can get involved in this here, because this is God's business. But we're going to take a moment here. We're going to open up the phone line. We're going to bring our host back in here. Our guest host is Brother Ricky Daniels here, and he may have something to say. Our phone line is full here, but I see everyone just want to listen in, so that's good. That's good. You know, just listen in and be involved in what's going on. Brother Daniel.
Yes.
Oh, brother, we got some information there, man. My little pad is filled up, man. I'm flipping it over to the backside, man. I'm just writing things down here, trying to keep up with what's going on. But do you have any thoughts or comments regarding anything that he has shared? You know, we talked about quite a bit of stuff here. We talked about food budgeting, where you can set forth a kitchen and show people how to cook, and Food Matters program, and also the Family Garden Initiative. We had a guest on some time ago that we talked about that, and I went out and I saw some of these gardens, being farmed and also working gardens. So I know that's a very powerful ministry, and it works. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about putting up one in my own residence. You know, you don't need very much land. I'm going to build one in my own house, and I'm going to just do that thing there. Probably in the fall, I just start doing something like that.
You know, Deacon Lewis, about a couple of years ago, man, me and my son, you know, they grew up in North Dallas with me, but every now and then they used to go to South Dallas with me. They said, Daddy, why are there so many fat folks over here in South Dallas? You know what I'm saying? And they said, there's a lot of obesity going around now, you know, and mostly if you look at it, a lot of these are food stamp programs or stuff that they offer that you're not really getting nutrition. You're not getting, you know, on the right kind of fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, because mostly they want you to just, you know, buy a lot of bulk food, and then you got your choice of what you want to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Most right, stamp, I hear you.
We were mostly suggestive. We go along with the TV commercials. We look at all this stuff on TV that you know, fast food and this and fast food that. But it's not. But we really not know that nutrients come from vegetables and fruits. And you have
right.
to have our diet in order to live and exist in this world. Because and mostly, if you look at it. Like Brother Michael was saying, that the people over on the other side of town, they get the best of everything. And they get the best meats, and they get the best vegetables.
Brother Daniel, I'm reminded of something that God said. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I will say this about the Health and Human Services. There are many caring and compassionate Christians that make up these organizations. And, you know, SNAP, the food stamp program, you know, the supplemental program, TANF, which is financial aid and so forth, those things are provided out of good intentions. But if I take, hundreds of dollars to put it in your hands in order to provide a healthy and nutritious way for you to eat. The problem I have is that I can't necessarily supervise and oversee what you purchase to eat. And what we purchase is based on our belief system and our values. As I said, we preach Jesus. But when I study the Bible and I look at the Old Testament, I see over 613 commandments and laws that governs the nation of Israel. And I'm not going to get into this whole thing about, you know, don't eat this and don't do that. But the whole purpose of the dietary laws in the Old Testament was basically to stress the importance of being concerned and being aware of what you eat and consume. There were some other things there. He was doing it to restrict them from being sociable, because all treaties and relationships in the Old Testament were done around meals. So the restricted dietary diet made it impossible for Israel to be able to have fellowship with the Canaanites and Amalekites and so forth, because they couldn't eat it. And if you didn't eat, you offended people. So that's why he gave it to them. But the secondary issue there is to make us think about what we're doing. So what I'm going to say is that we as a church have to do more than just talking about Jesus. Once you get them saved, you got to get them to grow up in their most holy faith, to desire the pure word, the milk of the word of God by which they grow, so that we begin to know and understand, and then we can pass it on to our children. We don't teach in our church practical living, daily living. We get people saved, but we don't get them what? Establishing the kingdom and living in such a way that people can see the reason, see the hope in us, and ask us for the reason, and we can teach.
Oh, that is so true, man.
Yeah.
That is so. Hey, now, Mike, our time is growing short here, man. Oh, man, this has been a fast hour, though, brother. But before you go, now, you're involved in a Bible study on Friday nights in the North Dallas area. Please share some of that with us. And we're going to be getting out of here shortly. So just give us a glimpse of what's going on, and then we'll bring you back at a later date to follow up.
Okay. Two things real quick. All right. One is that Bible study on Friday nights is from 8 to 10 o'clock. It's at the original Pancake House at 5220 Beltline Road. That's just one block east of the tollway and one block west of Munford. And it originated out of people from different churches who wanted more in-depth studies. We do hermeneutics. That's the science of interpreting documents of antiquity, ancient documents. And there are rules and precepts that govern that. And we have fun as we learn how to get the background, the context, the political climate, and the language and the words and so forth. But the other thing that we do in there is what we just talked about, is that we look to the Bible as our rule book, our guidebook for daily living. That once we get the principles, the teaching that comes out of each book, we begin to ask ourselves, what are the practical applications in our lives so that we can not only what live better, but how we can pass that on to our children and children's children. So I would encourage people that if you want some serious Bible study and some practical daily living that you can take to the world and so forth, join us on Friday nights from 8 to 10.
Okay? All right. That sounds great. Now, Mike, as we get ready to end this segment program, thank you once again, brother. It's been a great It's been a great show, man. Very informative, very exciting and powerful, brother, powerful. Share with us again the contact number. So if anyone would like to call you, they can follow up on this, because you gave us a whole list of ministry that's available. And I'm pretty sure that someone wants to be a part of some of this here. So give us a contact number.
All right, here's the contact number. At our church or our 501c3 Zion Chapel, it's 972-218-9789. My mobile number is 214-900-4179. And the reason why I'm doing all this is that I'm trying to be an extension for every church, not just my church, but I work for any church that is in need and interested in trying to identify resources. I do grant writing. I help churches to position themselves where they can obtain funding or to redesign themselves to be more service-oriented and consumer-friendly. So you can reach me on my cell at 214-900-4179 or to our church or our 501c3 at 972-218-9789.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, Mike, thank you very much, brother. We're going to have to make this transition here, but we thank you for being a guest on the program.
Thank you for inviting me. I love spending time with you, Joel. You're a man of God. I've watched you for the last 2 years. You do a yeoman's job, tremendous work, and you're an asset that we desperately need.
Well, God bless you. Likewise. And God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, man, we're going to make this transition. Thank you very much. Thank you, callers, for calling. You hold on here. We got a few more minutes. We're going to talk about some other things that we're interested in. Brother Michael, just hold on here. We just want you to hear what we have to say regarding the remainder of this program. I'd like to share with our listening audience a training segment that's coming up over at the Juvenile Center here. This is the Dallas County Juvenile Department. Youth Village is offering a training class over there. That's for March the 24th. I have shared with you this information once before, but just doing a follow-up, it's March the 24th at 1 to 4 p.m. The training is free, and you would also get a application to go into the juvenile centers here in Dallas County and throughout Texas, I believe, it'll cover. And that way you can go in and minister to our young men and women's ages of from 12 to 17, I believe. That contact number would be for Mr. Jernigan over. He's the coordinator and setting up this training class. And that number is 972-225-9700. Again, that number is 972-225-9700. I'd like you to be involved in that. Help change a life. Our young people, they need you. Also, we'd like to acknowledge a new format on this program. We have another addition to our Blog Talk Family Radio program. It's on Fridays, called Real Talk. We're dealing with young people and young issues. It comes on Friday night from 9 to 10. So I encourage you to come on. It's a clean show. They're talking about things that young people are dealing with. And I have a heart for young people. You know, this ministry is what it was developed about, with about young people. But God have broadened our territory, so we cover all social events in the gospel. So we thank God for it, and we're in for a great time. Next week we're going to have another great guest on here, so I encourage you to listen in, put it in your iPhone as a reminder. The time is the same, the location is the same, and the message will be the same message, glorifying God in Jesus' name. We have Brother Daniels on here as we get ready to wrap up this program. Brother Daniels. Yes, sir.
Man,
yes, sir.
Man, you feeling fond of the show you had today, Stephen Lewis?
Well, we're glad that you enjoyed it. Thank you for being a part of this program, and the phone banks are still filling up. Still loaded, and people are excited about what's going on. I thank God for it. Now that you get the information on the training session for the juveniles.
I got it.
I tell you what, pass it on to people, man. You know, because they say you just show up and you can be admitted into it. And I hate that they're doing it during the middle of the week, but that's the way things are going. I have been certified to go in. I go to the juvenile centers. And so it's a joy and a privilege. And it changes lives, man. It changes lives. But as we get ready to wind down this program, man, I encourage you, man, to keep doing what you're doing, brother. It's making a difference in somebody's life.
Amen. I'm very very glad I took part of being part of your show, Dick Lewis, and I helped change the life of a lot of youth in the Dallas area, and I'd like to be a part of your juvenile ministry.
All right, well, great. Well, you got those numbers in, and I'll tell you what, we'll talk a little bit more of that offline. We're getting ready to wind down here, but again, Carlos, thank you. Our phone bank is filled up, and so I encourage you, listen, to tell someone about this show. You know, you can go back and listen to it. Our show, all our shows are archived. Just go back to blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place, and you too can listen to all our program, all four shows. We have four shows now that's associated with this network here. So please listen in. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. As we're ready to go, we'll never leave without saying a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the guest that came on this morning. Thank you for the information that he was able to share with the Lord, how he's tapped in on some resources, dear Lord, that what you have ordained. But man have it, Lord, but you developed these programs. The Lord allows us to be a partaker of what you're doing. Talking about the summer lunch program, the Lord, some young man and some young woman is going to be blessed by this program. The volunteers are going to be blessed by participating in this program. The food program, dear Lord, the community partnership with the Human Health Services, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for this type of ministry. Dear Lord, in the program called Food Matters, dear Lord, because we realize sometimes we don't get the right nutrition, dear Lord. We don't know how to do it, dear Lord, but it do matter, dear Lord. But you know, you're blessed all things, but there's a proper way for us to work in your kingdom, in your blessing. And also the FGI, the the Family Garden Initiative, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. For you, after you had created everything, you said go forth and subdue it, dear Lord. And you still want us to be able to work with our hands, dear Lord. You still want to be able to bless us. Dear Lord, thank you for the guests. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray these in the name of Jesus. We pray that what we're doing here helps change a life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.